Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you as we meet with our Lord here today. And I hope that you're having a great day, that you've already heard from the Lord, and that you're looking forward to hearing from Him again, and that these times are a blessing for you. I know as we go through this day, it's still hot, not quite as hot as it was, but still very dry, and we certainly pray that the Lord sends us some rain. But we're just so thankful that we get to come together and turn our heart toward the Lord and seek Him and to hear from Him. And since our whole purpose for being together is to hear from our Lord, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day that You have given to us. And, O Lord, the opportunity to be with You. And, Father, the fact, O God, that You want to speak to us. You want to reveal Yourself to us. Lord, You want us to know You. Not just facts and truths about You, but, O God, through those to personally know You, Lord, to walk with You. And, Father, I pray as we go through this time that You'll open our minds and our hearts. Lord, I pray for anyone watching who has never come to know You through Your Son, that, O Lord, that Your Spirit will bring them to salvation and faith and trust in You. Father, I pray for every child of God that in this time, O Lord, that we will know You better, be able to walk closer to You, experience You more. Father, bless our time here today, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am thankful for these times that God's given to us. It's an opportunity for us to turn our focus back toward the Lord, especially as we live in these times of fraud and deceit and violence and corruption. And it's so easy for us just to be consumed and overwhelmed by these things. And it's not that we should ignore them by any means, and it's not that we need to put our heads in the sand, but periodically we need to refocus our minds and our hearts toward the Lord. And as we open God's Word, excuse me, that's our director of security there helping us with that. But as we open God's Word to Psalm 92, it helps us with this. You think about the superscription of this psalm, you think about what it says. It says a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. And you think of the significance of that. After a week of pressure, after a week of work, after a week of problems and difficulties, the psalmist there needed to be able to refocus his mind and his heart upon the Lord, just as we need to do periodically to refocus, especially after, you know, we've gone through times in our own life as we live of difficulty, of adversity, of worry. Certainly as we live in these times that we live in, many times we need to refocus our mind and our heart. And as we look at this psalm, we think about what it says there in verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High. You know, as the psalmist stopped after a week of work and pressure and demands and probably problems and adversities, he was able to turn his heart once more to thanksgiving. And that's not to say, again, that he stuck his head in the sand about those problems or those concerns, but that when he turned and looked at the Lord, he was able to put those in perspective against the Lord, and he was once more able to sing and to worship the Lord. And so what is it about our Lord that enables us to have that response if we truly turn toward Him? Well, first of all, there is, in fact, His goodness. You know, there's no way that we can state it deeply or strongly enough about the goodness of our Lord. You think about what we read in verses 2 through 3. To declare Your loving kindness in the morning and Your faithfulness by night, with the 10-stringed lute and with the harp, with the resounding music upon the lyre. You think about the fact that the psalmist there was talking about the fact that how, you know, every morning was a new opportunity to praise the Lord. You know, God's Word tells us that every day you and I start the day with a fresh amount of God's loving kindness and mercy. You think about what we read in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It says, for the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is Your faithfulness. Every day, child of God, that you wake up, you have a never-ending supply of God's love, His compassion, and His goodness. And the good news about it is, no matter how bad the day may go or how badly you may fail through the day, You never use up that supply. You think about what he said there in the middle or the very end of verse 2. And your faithfulness by night. Yes, he was able to sing of God's loving kindness in the morning. You know, that fresh new supply of mercy and grace and loving kindness. But at nighttime, he was able to declare God's faithfulness. Why? Because no matter how bad the day had been, he had not used it up. I like how Jerry Vernon McGee described that verse. As he talked about the fact that God's loving kindness and faithfulness was not only just there first thing in the morning, but even after the end of the day, he made the observation very humorously, as J. Vernon McGee was intended to do. He said to get Vernon McGee through a day is quite an undertaking. And I think all of us probably laugh at that because we put ourselves there. For all of us, we look at our life and we think, you know, to get me through a day takes quite an undertaking. And yet, even getting me through a day does not exhaust God's mercy and loving kindness and his goodness. You know, you think about yesterday, whatever day yesterday was, whenever you're watching this. You think about the failures that you may have had, the mistakes, the shortcomings. And yet, when you woke up this morning, God gave you a fresh supply of his loving kindness and goodness. He saw you through yesterday, and then you had a fresh new supply today. It'll be the same way tomorrow. No matter how badly today may go, and no matter how badly you may fail, and I'm not belittling the seriousness of that. Thank goodness for God's grace and forgiveness and cleansing. But you'll not exhaust all of his loving kindness. And tomorrow you'll wake up, there'll be a fresh new supply. We have God's goodness. We also have God's joy. And by joy, I mean that inner gladness. I know the world always talks about happiness, but as we've talked about before, happiness is like a child in an amusement park on a ride. As long as the ride is going, everything's great. But when the ride stops, you know, that emotional high, so to speak, is over with. Joy is God-given, it's from within, and it's in spite of the circumstances. You think about what we read in verse 4. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. You know, no matter how much our world tries to gin up what they call happiness, no matter what they try to do, many times it's hurtful and destructive of themselves and others. No matter what they try, it never produces. It never results in that real feeling of joy from within. And yet God gives us that from within. So it's a fruit of the Spirit, and it's irregardless of circumstances. We've referenced the book of Philippians before. A book that we refer to as a prison epistle because Paul wrote it as a prisoner. It was written to a church that was financially was not very well off, desperate, and coming under increasing pressure from the outside. And yet everything about that book is about joy. God's joy is irregardless of the circumstances. Even these days in which we live, there can be a joy within our hearts. Not because of ignorance, because of what's going on. Not because, again, we try to ignore it. But because we know the living God, who in fact loves us, is in control, again gives us that full supply of grace and loving kindness for each day, and there can be a joy in our hearts because we know him. But there's another reason we ought to turn our hearts toward the Lord and be able to sing unto him and worship him and praise him. Excuse me, that's because of God's justice. Again, we're not talking about ignoring the evil, the wickedness, the fraud, the corruption that characterizes our society. We're not talking about, you know, whitewashing over the growing violence and discontent and the unraveling of our society. We look around us and what we see taking place is really a war on God, a war on his people, frankly a war on this nation from within. And yet we have the confidence that in his perfect time, and in his perfect way, God will in fact deal with it in his perfect justice. You think about what we read in verses 5 through 9. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this, that when the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished, It was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies will perish. All who do iniquity will be scattered. God allowed them free rein only to the extent that it fulfilled his ultimate purpose. And then he dealt with them and in fact glorified his name through the midst of it. God left no mistaking the fact that it was he who judged them. I can't help but think about what we read in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16 as the Lord was speaking of Pharaoh. And I think the King James hits it closer to the original thought that's there. You listen to Exodus chapter 9 verse 16 in the King James. And in very deed, for this cause I have raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Do you hear what he was telling evil, wicked Pharaoh? Evil, wicked, abusive Pharaoh. Pharaoh, I have brought you to power just so everyone will know I am God when I deal with you. It's the same way with the evil and the wicked that we see in our time, in our generation, and ultimately until the end, whenever that time will be, when our Lord will rapture out his church, and then you have that 7-year period of tribulation, and then our Lord will return to establish his kingdom. God is only allowing them to get by, first of all, out of his mercy, to be sure, but ultimately to show unmistakably that he is the living and sovereign God. We see God's absolute control. We see God's justice. And even as we look at these days in which we live, and again, for at least the third, maybe fourth time, this is not to say we stick our head in the sand. This is not to say we become disinterested. If there's ever a time we need to be active and involved in saving our nation, it needs to be now. But there needs to be a confidence within our heart that the day is coming, in the perfect time, by the way, that God will in fact make all things right. But then that leads us to the fourth truth that comes out of this. The fourth reason to refocus our thinking, just as the psalmist did on the Sabbath, and that is in fact God's security. You think about what we see in verses 10 and 11. But you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. You know, we can face these days with the security and the confidence of God, that he will protect us unto his will. And I do need to stress that latter part. He protects us unto his will. But even there is the future glory for us, the future reward. But you know, I like how one commentator put it, and I'm putting together a couple of thoughts from two different individuals. But they made the observation, each in his own way, that a Christian is untouchable, immortal, if you will, until God's appointed time for them. Until you reach that time, there is nothing and no one who can touch you or hurt you. We have God's absolute security. We can rest in him. What a reason for our whole attitude to be changed, to be shifted. But then look at the last one. We have God's future. And by that I mean the future that he has planned for us. You think about what we read in verses 12 through 15. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. God's plans for us are good. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for well-being and not for calamity, that you might have a future and a hope. And that includes our present situation. You might be going through a time that's very, very difficult right now, and I'm not taking away from that. But you think about what God says in his word in Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to his purpose. That's true in our immediate circumstances. That's true in our life. It's certainly true in our eternity. Go read Revelation 21 and 22 about our eternal home. What ultimately awaits us? You think about what God has planned for us an hour from now, a day from now, a week from now, eternity. It is in fact good. We have so much to give thanks for. Yes, we're living in very difficult times, but you know, we need to periodically do what the psalmist did on the Sabbath day, turn our heart back toward the Lord and think about Him and allow that to refocus our thinking. Not so that, again, we can abandon it or stick our head in the sand, but so that we can be refreshed, renewed, strengthened, and encouraged to begin walking with the Lord and trusting Him again. And I hope as you face today, whatever you're facing in your personal life, as you face the times in which we live, that you take a few moments, even today, to meet with the Lord and turn your heart toward Him, so that you can experience what this psalmist did on the Sabbath. After a long, difficult week, he was more than prepared to face the next one. God will do that work in us if we allow Him, if we turn our heart toward Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. And, O Lord, for Your goodness, Your grace, Your faithfulness, Your trustworthiness. Father, the joy that You give to us. Father, we praise You. We thank You. Lord, help us to walk with You today and rest in You today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through today, again, that at some point you'll find time to turn your heart toward the Lord, to meet with Him, and like the psalmist, to be refreshed and renewed, to face the rest of this day, the rest of this week, the times in which we live, your life, and eternity. And I hope that by walking with Him that you truly do have a great day in the Lord.